Fighting for America.
Last year was the best job growth we had seen since the 1990s. The unemployment rate's now dropped to 5.6%. We've seen manufacturing come back. We have cut our deficits. Gas prices have dropped.
Fighting for Idaho.
Government is already too big. The deficit has gone from $10 trillion to $18. $18 trillion in the amount of time he's been there. But it's not enough. It's not enough.
Fighting for you.
But if we nominate another candidate in that mold, the same people who stayed home in 08 and 12 will stay home in 2016, and the Democrats will win again.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning, Kevin Miller with you here at 580 KIDO. Thank you all for joining us. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Our friend Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, is with us. And we're here to discuss, the presidential trip, the State of the Union, the new Congress, and maybe that's kind of outside your expertise, but do you feel comfortable talking about politics? Have you had any, you know, excursions into the political realm? If you were on the stand, I would be trying to establish your credibility to the jury.
Well, law is only an extension of politics, but having worked with the Ronald Reagan administration, with Bill Clinton, and then working for the other side in the last couple of campaigns, I've learned a trick or two of the trade dealing with what we do as trial lawyers and focus groups, working for politicians and formulating policy. So I've rubbed shoulders with some of these people that are currently in power and those who preceded.
Would you like to tell us these people or not?
Well,
it's up to you how deep you want to go. Again, a lot of people say, why do you have Alan L. Morton, attorney at law? And there's some things that you've done that not a lot of people know about. And we can just, look, I'm not Woodward or Bernstein here, so I'm comfortable with your credentials that you've worked in high places.
Well, I used to be affiliated with the Washington, D.C. law firm. That's where I got my start in rubbing shoulders with some of these folks doing focus groups. But while I was in college, I interned with the White House, starting with Ronald Reagan back in the 80s during some summer months. While I attended law school and worked for a fellow by the name of Bill Pope, who ran not only communications but polling for Ronald Reagan. It was a great experience.
So you've worked in these high places, so you've established that. And I think you're always telling me on Facebook and when we meet on and off the air that I need to have more balance in my life when it comes to my particular partisan bent. Am I leading the witness with that statement, sir?
Well, objection. The fact of the matter is that when you're dealing with people's opinions, you're dealing with the concept that people do not believe it if they see it.
Right.
They see it only if they believe it. So information that is presented is accepted, rejected, or modified based upon the person's belief system. And people don't, we've learned as trial lawyers that people don't change opinions during a jury trial. But what they do is they embrace certain positions based upon those belief systems. And I'm certainly never attacking a person based upon their political beliefs, because those are framed over years of personal experience, as is any other belief system. Even in families, people don't have the same experiences, and it's those experiences that develop these opinions that people have.
Right. Well, so back to my original point. So you're here to add a little balance to my, because I have to tell you this, and again, 580-5436, 580-KIDO, I have to tell you that I'm very, very bitter about yesterday's meeting and about the coverage and everything. The one good thing that I do mention at Obama Says Nothing is that Nagmeet Abedini did get a chance to speak with the president. You know, that's not an easy thing to accomplish.
That was probably one of the most important things that happened during the last couple of days. That is of primary interest, not just to Idahoans, but our very concept of what we value as Americans, which is freedom, freedom of association, freedom of religion. And this travesty of a person being attacked for his religious beliefs and then arrested and tortured for it,
sure,
ought to motivate every American, to support his return home to his family and to his church. I commend those that put together this particular meeting. I commend the president for meeting with her, and I think this is, again, going to be a big step in allowing the pundits in the Beltway working with diplomats to work for his release, just as they did with our soldier Bergdahl. These things don't happen on their own. You know, it's like Newton's law. He needs to take some action here. Our Senator Risch has been a point man for this, and I'm glad that both parties now, the Democrats and the Republicans, have seen the light and are going to work for this man's return to his family.
That is good. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Back to the point here, your impressions of the president's speech yesterday.
I thought, as speeches go, it was a marvelous State of the Union speech. He was definitely on his A game. Long on platitudes, short on facts, but as speeches go, it's going to rank up there just as a JFK speech. It was very motivating. And what I learned from this particular speech was something of a Clinton-esque experience. Remember back when Bill Clinton assigned his wife, or perhaps she just simply usurped the role of being the health care czar, in first trying to bring about the evolution of universal health care. And they got taken to the woodshed in the midterms. And Clinton changed in that. He became one of the most effective presidents because he started doing focus groups and changing policy to go more middle of the road instead of to the far left. And I think that one moment allowed him to escape the Senate trial and impeachment. I think that lesson was learned by our president, because he's now, in at least in his public discourse, moving from the far left right back to the center and reaching out, if you will, to the GOP, saying, you know, we're not going to agree on everything, but he said that which we do agree, we should act on.
Yeah, but let's be honest. Long on platitudes, nothing on facts. And by the way, the phone number here, folks, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. You have the President of the United States basically treating us as nothing more than a bunch of lemmings.
Thanks to all the Broncos for having me. And thanks for the balmy weather. I thought it was going to be a little colder around here.
You know something? If he were doing something for Saturday Night Live, if he were doing something for ESPN, but quite frankly, the man is lying. He's talking about cutting the deficit by two-thirds when he's printing his own money. He's talking about the middle class, an ode to socialism, when the wealthy have blown up. The stock market has gone great. The jobs have not happened here in America under this man's watch. And again, let me apologize in advance, and that's why you're here. I felt like I was watching a carnival barker selling snake oil to all of us. And you know what? We're all buying it.
No different than when Ronald Reagan was president, I might add. This is exactly what presidents do. They give speeches and policymakers, and then it's up to the staff and individuals to effectuate that policy by legislation. I don't consider him a liar. I consider him very ineffective and very incompetent in his first administration and being able to walk through the
You're
plan.
You're saying Obama's Reagan.
No, I'm not. I'm saying like unto in that aspect of speech making. You know, it's up to the president to be the policy maker, but it's his chief of staff, it's his deputy chief of staff, and those that work in the administration to follow through. And that's where I found, you know, from personal experience, the incompetent to rise. We saw this in the first election.
Let's talk about the reaction here, where we have people going, I'm an Obama fan that are media people. Oh, isn't this wonderful? Look, we all think that it's neat, but I mean, the fact remains that the man came in on taxpayer dime, the mayor of the city of Boise flew back on our dime, and quite frankly, Alan, just gave an amazing pep rally for a person who's lost both houses of Congress. His Obamacare mandate might be shot down in the Supreme Court. There, you know, nobody wants to be the bad guy, well, I guess I'm raising both hands today. I'm going to be the bad guy.
In 1 month, he's risen in the ranks of popularity from one of the lowest in the history of the presidency, from 39% now to 50, 11 points in a month. That's an amazing spike since this last midterm election. And he's hit his own stride. He's hit some common themes that are resonating with people. And the one thing that outside of hypocrisy that affects people is this concept that the Beltway is inert, that they're all about fighting. And what's happening now is he is actually reaching out.
Right.
And if
reaching
they don't take the bait.
Wait a minute, reaching out
in
how?
In his State of the Union, he said, that which we don't agree, but that which we do, we should act upon. And let me give you a point.
Well, before,
tax cuts.
Yeah,
the first present right. time, he comes out and he says, we should have a tax
right.
cut.
After 6 years and losing the Democratic Congress.
We should have a tax cut.
We're going to have a tax cut. Yeah, where was that
we
6 years ago?
We should have a, well, that's a
where
lesson
was that,
learned.
Where was that 6 years ago?
That was a lesson
so
learned,
learned
in this election.
He's learned on the job.
Absolutely.
So people have lost their health care. They've lost their premiums. They've lost their jobs under this administration. And yet you have people here saying, oh, isn't he wonderful?
No, what?
And hold on here. Let's have another one from our wonderful commander-in-chief.
Yeah, in places like Idaho, the only blue turf is on your field.
I mean, are we that desperate that we have to have this man sit back and say to us, you know, pander to us, and we soaked it up, and, oh, isn't this great, this is wonderful? I want to know what wonderful is. And by the way, let's take a look at our foreign policy. Let's take a look at the Middle East. Are we better off now than we were under Bush?
I want to come back to the
please
concept.
Please answer my question. Are we better off now than we are under Bush? And number two, to your point, since when do we judge someone's success by opinion polls?
That's how politicians are value their point. It's based on two things: the dollars they raise for re-election, predicated upon public opinion. That's what they are. That's exactly what every politician is. They are elected, and then their primary purpose, albeit publicly they say they're here to serve us, they're actually there to serve themselves. They begin from the day one from they're elected to start opening their doors to receive lobby money, and their sole purpose is re-election, except in the case of the president after he's maxed out his two terms. As he said himself, I can't run again. I'm done. And, of course, the Republicans clapped, and he turned around and he said,
thin-skinned.
I know that because I won them both.
Thin-skinned Obama, number one, at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. You didn't answer my question about the Middle East, sir.
The point is that I don't have an opinion on the Middle East at this point. Our point is that that's a work and mission in progress, that's going to continue for 10 years. The Middle East has been in fray for not only decades, it's been in fray since for centuries.
I remember,
this president isn't going to make it worse or better.
I remember Egypt had a strong government before he got in there. Libya had a strong government before he got in there. Let's see,
you're
Iraq.
Saying Gaddafi?
Yes. Iraq had a strong government before he got in there. And I remember him lecturing our great friend Mitt Romney during the campaign about, don't worry about Putin, ISIS is the JV. Let's see, we could go on and on. We're going to get out of Iraq. He left troops. We left Iraq. It got worse. Afghanistan is an embarrassment. And then you have the people that supported him that were at that rally yesterday that are going, yeah, it's great. Well, you tell me, is the foreign policy great right now?
Tell me about how Iraq was stronger before,
yes or
before
no.
The president became in power in Washington.
They had a centralized government.
My history tells me is that Saddam was taken out of power. Their infrastructure was down. They hadn't had electricity restored in the bulk
of the cities.
I'm
talking about President Bush and the surge.
Okay.
I'm talking about President Bush and the surge. Let's go to Jim in Middleton with Kevin Miller and Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, on 580-KIDO. Good morning, Jim.
Morning, Jim.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Morton, I'm sorry. You're so out of touch with the American people. You're not out of touch with Washington and the Washington politicians. You're right in lockstep because you're buying everything that is tearing the country apart.
We all know, Jen, that you don't like lawyers.
I'll make
so go ahead and make the
man's
point.
Polls are up in the last month because fuel is down, which had nothing to do with this man at all. If it was his way, he would be raising energy prices.
What caused the reduction in the oil prices, Jim? Do you know?
Well,
do you have a clue?
As far as I, with the information that is given to me, and what I can understand is part of it is all of the oil exploration and digging in this country on mostly private land, and then the issue in Russia that's going on over there, and OPEC is dropping their prices to try to hurt the fracking over here. Okay, there's a lot of politics and what have you.
You believe that the oil production in the United States is what brought about the reduction in oil prices?
I'm sorry, let Jim finish here, sir.
There's other things at play here. And then to say that this man makes one sentence and says that well, I'm willing to work together, and you're acting like, oh, the man's reaching out and what have you. Do you buy this? Are you that shallow of a man to buy this?
I don't think that you understand the facts as they exist. My information with respect to the oil situation comes from Matt Ellsworth, who worked in the embassy at Abu Dhabi. The information that I understand is that arrangements were made with the Saudi Arabian government, which is basically the Saudi family, when they realized that Obama's administration was pulling out of the area. What they were concerned about was the strength of ISIS as it is, them coming after the Saudi family. These are basically assassins that are going after the seats of power. They basically demonstrated their ability to work at will in Syria, and the Saudis were next. And what they're concerned about is that if there is a major pullout and change in policy with respect to our armed forces, leaving the Saudi family out there, that these people are basically the next on the hit list. And really what it was brought about the surplus in oil. It hadn't anything to do with production of oil in the United States. It was the Saudis and their government pumping millions and millions and millions of oil beyond production that drove these prices down. Basically, a deal was made between Washington, D.C. and the Saudis that if they work to help us bring down oil prices to help our economy, we're going to remain committed to them. And that was what brought about this great change.
Well, so, yes, it's all Mr. Wonderful's idea. Jim, anything else?
Yes. You know, again, that proves my point. We had high gas prices, Kevin, all these years, and because there's a couple of people who got a hit out on the Arabians over there, now the oil comes down. It had nothing to do with helping the American people, very little at that. And again,
I agree with that,
Jim. Mr. Morton is in lockstep. Just hearing the man talk, the way he says things, the last conversation, Kevin, I'll wrap this up, when he says, oh, this Congress has done nothing about immigration. You said, and they shouldn't. They should obey the law. This is how out of step this man is. It's unbelievable, Kevin. Unbelievable.
Unfortunately, Jim's based upon what I said before. People don't believe it if they see it. They see it only if they believe it. He doesn't concern himself with the facts. It's just him talking, you know, to hear himself talk on the radio. Thank you very much for your point, but you didn't say one fact.
Jim, thank you for the call. Much more coming up, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We react to the president's Boise adventure. And by the way, is it us or is it them when it comes to being out of step? I just can't believe the response that he got. Look, we all love America. We all want to support our commander-in-chief. But when he sits there and panders to us, do we soak it up like a bunch of lemmings? 623, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO.
Lindsay, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
What I do know about Boise is that it's beautiful. I know that because I had been here before. I campaigned here in 2008. It was really fun. And the truth is, because of the incredible work that was done here in Idaho, it helped us win the primary. And you know, I might not be president if it weren't for the good people of Idaho.
That is the president yesterday. He's not making that up. If you ever want to read a good book, Dan Ball's book from the Washington Post, where he talks about the unique strategy during the primary where the president, at the time Senator Obama, knew that he could not compete in the big media markets of New Jersey and other East Coast outlets. He came out to the West, where we have these things called caucuses, where the Clintons didn't even know where it was on the map, outworked them, and a delegate is a delegate, and he amassed delegates from states like Idaho. And when they came to Boise and they had Governor Andrus going, he's going to be the next big thing, it really added wind to the sails. Kevin Miller in the Morning with Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. Alan is here to consult me because I am just uber negative today on just our reaction, and I really shouldn't be. The president was here. He smiled. Everybody soaked it up. To me, we've just paid for a pep rally. Was it State of the Union 2 or a football pep rally yesterday? 580-5436, 580-KIDO. The one good thing, Nagma Damidi did get a chance to speak with the president. We are efforting an effort to reach her today. And we go back to he wants to do all these wonderful things. He doesn't have a Congress to work with, number one. And number two, let's take a look at the stock market in this roaring economy. Do you believe that the economy is better off?
I think we're seeing signs of improvement. You know, what's interesting, let's talk about what the president needs to do.
Well, I've noticed, though, that when I ask you a question, you don't answer it.
I do. I don't think that it's a yes or no answer. I think there is improvement, but the economy is always fragile. The only constant that we see is change. And what's good yesterday isn't good today. What I see here is that if the president is sincere, and I think there's more than enough evidence that he may not be, the fact is that he has to be the one to listen. He has to be the one to act. He has made the first step by reaching out to the GOP-controlled House and Senate, saying, well, let's act together on that which we agree. Well, what has to happen now, the ball is in the court of the GOP. They need to come together and say, well, let's talk about what we agree on. Number one, he said, you know, Obama made a historic comment and a commitment and a public one that he was committed to tax cuts. What liberal does that? That's a huge thing that the GOP should send immediately
right
three
after,
bills.
Hold on. Right after a tax increase, right after class warfare, your comments next, 580-5436. You're listening to 580-KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580-KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning. More coming up with our friend Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. First, we're joined by Nagma Damidi, getting ready to go on the Big Fox, Fox News. Nagma, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
Well, I know we don't have a lot of time, so when you say you have to go, you just say bye-bye, but... your thoughts on yesterday, prayer and the president?
You know, as I mentioned to President Obama, I said that this meeting was appointed by God, that I had prayed and fasted and to set up this meeting. I tried many times to meet him in Washington, D.C. or get a call from him. And over the last 2.5 years, nothing, you know, and finally, just to know that he was in Boise and then to be able to meet with him was a miracle for me. It was a great meeting. And Jacob, I saw my son. Jacob said, can you bring my daddy home for my birthday? And I could see his father's side, his human side, just coming out and telling Jacob that I will try, Jacob, I will try.
What else did the president say to you, Nagma? I mean, did you talk or did he most of the time?
First, when he sat down, he started talking and talking about how important this issue was to him and went over a list of things he had done, such as making calls to the Iranian president for the first time and Saeed having been part of that conversation and how he meets with John Kerry regularly and gets updates, and that John Kerry also meets with the Iranians on a regular basis over the nuclear talks, and he does bring up Saeed every time. And so he was, the first few minutes, he was just going through a list of things he was doing to let me know that Saeed was a priority, getting him home was a priority. He mentioned the recent Cuban prisoner that was released, and he said we just kept working at it until he was out, and he compared that to Saeed's kind of, he will continue to work at it and not give up until Saeed's out.
How did that make you feel and your family feel?
You know, it encouraged us, and that's when I could see hope in Rebecca and Jacob's eyes, and that's when Jacob said, well, he was still hopeful that he could get Daddy home quickly, that he said, can you bring him home for my birthday? And so it encouraged us, and I think it was an important meeting for him to see the personal side of the story, see the family. And as he mentions, he cares about the family. And, you know, I mentioned our family's torn apart. And so it was good for him to see this is just not a news story. And this is not, you know, this is a family that's torn apart.
Well, hopefully the president meeting with you will continue to raise awareness, not only here throughout our domestic media, but internationally. And that meeting will be known in the halls of the Iranian government.
It will. I've actually seen a lot of coverage in the Iranian media. So this is one of the important things is that the Iranian government knows now that he did meet with me, and you know that this is a priority. Getting Saeed, who's a Christian pastor, who's a convert, out, and so that's great that it's being picked up by other media and also by the Iranian government.
Nagmeh, what does this say to you about your faith?
It's a miracle. A lot of people said we've never fasted, we've never prayed. I asked people to join me for prayer and fasting. When I got the meeting, before I got the meeting, you know, I mentioned I was praying, and you know, I was saying, God, you know, I don't really have a lot of connections. I talked to desk officers at the State Department. I've met a few people, but I don't really have connections to make this meeting happen. But we always have connection with King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We have connection with God. And when we petition him and we seek him, when we seek his face, he never fails us. And for me, it was seeing the power of prayer, and that was really encouraging to see that.
Nagmeh, I know you wanted to thank everybody for their support, who joined you here and internationally to pray that you would meet the president.
Exactly. I couldn't have done this by myself. People have signed petitions, called government officials. They prayed with me. They fasted with me. Kevin, have brought this issue up continually on your radio and on your program. I couldn't have done it without all of this support. And I'm truly blessed to be from Boise area and have been raised here. And I appreciate all the support, not just in Boise, but from all across the U.S. and the world, but especially in Boise. I mean, yesterday, right before the president's speech, there was a great rally. I mean, so many people showed up, hundreds and hundreds, wearing yellow and saying Free Saeed. And it was just amazing seeing that.
Nagmeh, is there anything else that you'd like to say? Again, I know you're very busy, and we don't want to bother you, so we appreciate you making time for us.
No, I just wanted to give a quick call and say thank you, Kevin, and the listeners, and that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Nagmeh. God bless.
Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There you have it, Nagmeh Abedini. Alan L. Morton, your thoughts?
What a lady of faith. You know, she is such an inspiration that through times of adversity, she drops to her knees, prays to the Lord, and then a miracle happens. You know, this is just an incredible faith-promoting story with regard to getting the president's attention, getting a commitment from him. You know, it is truly inspiring.
How about her son?
That's
Jacob.
Very touching. But where the rubber meets the roads is, this is going to be a negotiation that goes on, is we have to identify what the Iranians want now. They're not just going to give them up without getting something. We saw this back with the Reagan administration with regard to the negotiations that ended up with the release of the hostages. You know, that was an ordeal that we all lived through. When our embassy was overrun, our hostages were taken under control, and Ronald Reagan was elected, and the negotiation occurred, and that's what developed in what was referred to as the Iran-Contra ordeal.
Sure.
We need to find out what they want, and then
they've been given a lot, though. They've been given a lot. The sanctions have been lifted. They've got their nukes. Much more coming up with the diplomat, Perhaps we should call you the James A. Baker of this program.
Well, it'll be interesting.
Would you like to be called the James A. Baker of this program?
That would be a great compliment. I thank you for that, but I'm far from a James Baker.
Well, to me, you're a James Baker. You're my James Baker.
Well, that's very kind of you to say. The point being here, though,
no, that's
is,
the cue that we're going to traffic.
Oh, okay. Very good.
All right.
I liked how he tied in some of the things that are important to us and tied in Boise State as well and Boise the people State. That are here.
580 KIDO, it is 647.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
653, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. Your reaction to the president in town.
So nice to see that we are not just a red state. We really have a lot of diversity in our state.
We have a lot of diversity in our state. These are the people that were excited to see President Obama. To me, I'm sorry, I'm a negative Nelly, so I've brought in the show fixer. That's Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, who is sharing his perhaps more objective view of the president. We go to our friend Matt in Middleton, daddy to Mabel, with Kevin Miller and Alan L. Morton at 580 KIDO. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, Kevin. How are you?
Good to have you on, sir.
Yeah, sorry I don't call in so often, but I do enjoy the program. As you know, I'm not a big fan of Obama, but I did want to see Air Force One yesterday, so I went out to the orchard just north of the Humane Society.
Did you take Mabel, your dog?
I did. Yes, she stayed in the truck. It was too cold for her.
Okay, so Mabel saw Air Force One as well.
Yes, yeah, she did.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so I got a great view of the Air Force One coming in and landing. As soon as it landed, the police officer blocked off the road. I had no idea, but that's right where the motorcade was going to come through. So we were blocked off for about a half an hour. And not only did I get a great view of the Air Force One, but I got to see the motorcade come through. So that was cool, but and I got my camera video of all that, and that was interesting. And it's interesting. I got a great feeling of comfort knowing that, as evil as I think Obama is at times, most of the time, I had a great feeling that, you know, I think that everything's going to be okay, regardless of who's leading this country. This is in God's hands, and we need to have our faith in God, and He will take care of things. He will work things out, and Obama won't be in power for too much longer. And I just felt a great comfort knowing that this is all in God's hands. This is not a permanent thing. Obama's presidency.
Well, what do you make of these folks that are yapping about this?
Yapping in favor of Obama?
Yeah, let me give you one of these here. Whoops.
Tied in some of the things that are important to us and tied in Boise State as well and the people that are here.
There we have it.
I think there's a lot of misunderstanding and a lot of people who are, you know, just trying to, you know, say whatever they want to say to...
Well, I think they want to be part of the club. What would you say to Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, who is giving us his perspective today, Matt?
I don't know. Everybody has their own opinion, and I'm entitled to my own. And
take that, Alan.
This man is a man of great faith, and I commend him for it. My question is, Obama won two elections. Was that God's will?
The trials and tribulations, buddy. He's putting us through it.
I put the question to him. Was that God's will?
I don't think it was. Well, I honestly don't think it was. I think that God gives us free agency, and we can do as we please. And but at the same time, we'll have to suffer the consequences for the wrong decisions that we make.
I think you would be in agreement with me on this particular point, and that is that one time a pundit went to Abraham Lincoln, and he says, you know, I sure hope that God is on our side. And it was President Lincoln that says, no, I hope that we're on his side.
Good point, Matt. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. God bless. And to you and your little dog, Mabel, I love those guys. And Matt has been with me from the very beginning. Coming up, we're going to speak with Nampa Mayor Bob Henry. Much more on this. How long are you hanging out for here, buddy? Mr. Morton.
Pardon me?
Yeah, are you paying attention here?
I was looking at Rocky Barker's comment.
Right, yes. Well, we'll talk a little bit about that. And look, Anytime you get coverage from the Statesman, it's a good thing. We did make the blog Letter from the West. But in reference to Rocky, he does point out that the lieutenant governor met the president here saying, keep your hands off Boulder, White Mountains. And you have Dave Beter and his crew, when he's not enjoying the free mints on Air Force One, saying, make it a national monument. We'll talk about that coming up. So back to my question, how long are you hanging out here for?
Oh, how long are you, what?
All right, so we're going to talk to the mayor of Nampa, Bob Henry, then much more on this. And your thoughts on the mayor of Boise getting a free ride on Air Force One. Here's what he got from it.
I tell you, everything it should be, it was. As cool as you think it would be, it was that cool.
Right.
You know how it's rare when, you know, your picture of things and your dream of it is the same as the actual doing of it. Nicest people you'd ever seen, great big plane.
Good food,
a good meal. You're right in the section right behind the president and their staff.
Oh, good. Now that's leadership. That's leadership, right? We'd love to hear from you next. It is 658-23 in Caldwell at 580-KIDO. Let's get you to work. 659, don't forget, coming up next hour, you want to listen to this program. Why? Because your chance to go to the Daytona 500, free, courtesy of 580-KIDO and MCA Nashville. I will give you the driver of the day. Then when you hear that driver of the day between 7-ish and 9-ish, be caller 10 and be registered to win that trip to the Daytona 500. Kay Milley with you. Fox News on the radio next. You're listening to 580 KIDO.